We begin our study in Mark 14, verses 12 through 26. We'll be looking at verses 12 through 16 today. This is the account of the Last Supper. In our prison system here in the West, a condemned prisoner is usually allowed to choose what they'll have for their last meal if they've been sentenced to death. Some of the choices are interesting. Anything from hamburgers and eggs and potatoes and bourbon to burritos and rice to chocolate chip ice cream to fried chicken, fried shrimp, French fries, strawberries, and Diet Cokes. But in our text today, the Lord Jesus Christ, he gathers with his disciples to partake in his last meal. He doesn't have, though, the privilege of requesting what he will eat for his last supper, but the meal that he eats may be the most important meal that has ever been eaten. The meal Jesus Christ eats on the eve of his death is a meal that was designed by God the Father to exalt God the Son. It is a meal that preaches the gospel. It is a meal that displays the grace of God. It is a meal that signifies the creation of a new covenant between God and sinner. I'd like to join Jesus and his men at this Last Supper and learn some truths. Verse 12, Mark 14. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare that you may eat the Passover?" Our text says the disciples came to Jesus wanting to know where he wanted to observe the Passover meal. The Passover was the main feast of the Jewish religious year. It was to be held on the 14th day of the first month of the Jewish calendar. The first month of their calendar roughly corresponds with April on our modern calendar. The Passover was a feast designed to commemorate the night God passed over Israel, when the death angel destroyed the firstborn of Egypt during the last of 10 plagues that God sent to judge Egypt. The Passover was also called the Feast of Unleavened Bread because no yeast or leavened bread was to be used or even kept in the house during the days of the feast. The regulations for the Passover are found in Exodus 12. According to verses 1 through 11 of that passage, every family in Israel was to take the following steps. Exodus 12. We find that the Jews were to choose a lamb, which was to be killed on the evening of the Passover. They were to take the blood of the lamb and put some on the doorpost of their homes. They were to roast the lamb over a fire and eat it with bitter herbs and unleavened bread. They would eat their meal dressed for a journey with their shoes on, their walking sticks in their hands, and they would eat it as though they were in a hurry. The order of the meal is as follows. First, they drank a cup of red wine mixed with water. There was a ceremonial washing of hands, which symbolized the need for spiritual and moral cleansing. They ate the bitter herbs, which symbolized their bondage in Egypt. They drank a second cup of wine, at which time the head of the household explained the meaning of the Passover. Then they would sing the first two of the Hallel Psalms, which is Psalms 113 and 114. Next, the lamb was brought out, and the head of the household distributed pieces of it with the unleavened bread. The unleavened bread symbolized haste. There was no time to allow the dough to rise before the journey would begin. They drank a third cup of wine. Then they would conclude the meal by singing the rest of the Hallel Psalms, which were Psalms 115 through 118. This was the meal the disciples were asking about. Orthodox Jews today, many Jews today, still observe the Passover the same way it has been observed for thousands of years. But sadly, they are oblivious to its symbolic meaning. It'll be worth our time to stop here and to talk about the Passover meal, because it is a wonderful picture of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Exodus 12, we see that the feast involved the lamb, which you find in verses 3 through 8 of Exodus 12. Verse 3 calls for Israel to choose a lamb. This could have been any lamb at all. But then it is called the lamb in verse 4. This refers to the particular lamb that was chosen for the meal. Then it is called your lamb. From a lamb, the lamb, to your lamb. Your lamb. This makes the meal very personal. They would have selected the lamb on the 10th day of the month, and they would have kept the lamb until the 14th day. From the 10th day to the 14th day of the month, there would be an attachment that would develop between the family and the little lamb. This was intentional. God wanted them to see the high cost of sin. He wanted them to understand that salvation is an intensely, intensely personal business. Jesus Christ is not just a Savior, one among many. He is the Savior. He's not a Savior, but the Savior. Notice, Israel had to choose a lamb. Jesus Christ is not just a Savior. Then it's called the Lamb. Christ is the Savior. And his saving work is not accomplished in your life until you can say that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Where do you find yourself today? Is he your Savior? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Have you abandoned every other hope of salvation to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? A lamb, the lamb, your lamb, your lamb, Jesus Christ. Can that be said of you? We see in Exodus 12, verse 5, that the lamb was to be without blemish. This is a perfection. This is a picture of perfection and purity. This lamb speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ because he is without blemish. He is the sinless Savior. We see in 1 Peter 2, 22, who has committed no deceit, who has committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Also, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, we read, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The Lord Jesus Christ, without blemish, the sinless Savior, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. The lamb was to be slain and its blood applied to the doorpost of the house. The family was to gather inside the house and eat the meal, and when the death angel, the angel of death, passed through the land to kill all the firstborn children, those who were in homes with blood on the doors would be safe. Those who have the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost of their heart will be safe. Once again, this is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only shelter anyone has against the wrath of Almighty God is the blood of Christ. Is the blood of Christ. If you ever hope to be saved, you must come to Jesus Christ by faith. And when you do, his blood washes away every sin. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19 tells us this. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without sin and without spot. A lamb without blemish, without spot. The Lamb. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world." The one whose precious blood redeems us. Where do you stand in your relationship with Jesus Christ? Or I should say, do you even have a relationship with Jesus Christ today? His blood washes away every sin. His blood is the only shield against the wrath and the judgment of God. That's it. There's no other payment for sin. There's no other way to escape the wrath of God. Romans 5:9 tells us much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. That's it. Friend that's listening today, you must be saved. And you must be saved from the wrath of God. That's what you need to be saved from. It's not you need to be saved from this habit and that habit and your life stinks and all these other things. You need to be saved from the wrath of God. Jesus Christ came to save sinners, to set the captives free. Also, we see in a text in Exodus that the lamb was to be roasted with fire. Fire is a picture of judgment, and it reminded Israel that the judgment of God was being poured out on sinful Egypt, and the only thing that prevented Israel from being judged along with Egypt was the blood of the Lamb who had died to save them. The Lamb had been judged in their place. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was judged in the place of his redeemed ones. That's what 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 tells us. He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. He becomes sin, and we become the righteousness of God. That is an incredible statement. 1 Peter 3:18 tells us this. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He was judged in our place. The lamb had to be without blemish. The lamb had to be roasted with fire. The lamb, also it tells us in Exodus 12:8, had to be eaten. It did no good to simply select the lamb. It did no good to just kill the lamb. The lamb had to be appropriated by the individual. And that same truth is true today with Jesus Christ. His death on the cross is meaningless for you unless you repent and believe. Unless you repent and believe in him. You simply believe in him by faith. His death cannot save you until you turn to him and receive him into your heart and in your life. Listen to what the word of God says. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And the question is, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? There's much more that could be said about the Passover and the Lamb. These few thoughts simply remind us that salvation is not an option. This is not an option. This is a necessity. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will face God in judgment someday. If you are saved by his grace, you will never face the awful wrath of God. You have passed from death into life. His blood has forever turned away the wrath of God for those who believe. Let me close by reading Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 18. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. All those priests, both Hebrew and Gentile, ministering daily, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Perfected forever. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he has said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. What a promise. All of the sin, all of the wickedness, all of the heartbreak, all of the loss, all of the I could have, I should have, I would have, if I only. It can all be redeemed, my friend. It can all be redeemed. If you will simply come as the thief on the cross that day, said to Christ, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Christ said, today you'll be with me in my kingdom. Well, Christ has come into his kingdom. He has come into his kingdom. And closing with Hebrews 10:18 now, where there is remission of these, those lawless deeds, those sins, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Do you know of that boldness today? That confidence that we have today to enter into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ? We can come before Almighty God, for we're no longer under his wrath, but now we have become his friend. We were once his enemy, but now we've become his child. We were children of wrath by nature, and now we've been made new creations. Behold, the old has passed, all things have become new. I would invite you today to come. To come to the Lamb. To repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Saved from what, you ask? From the wrath of God. The wrath of God, it says, is already being poured out upon mankind. Already. This is just a foretaste of the coming wrath. All the pain and heartache and sin and wickedness and suffering and all the things happening around us. It's the wrath of God just beginning to be poured out. I would invite you today to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And for those of us who are saved, Let us be about the business of telling people of the Lamb. Let us be ministers of reconciliation, which the scripture says that we are. Ministers of reconciliation, telling others about the Lamb. Even as the Jew of that day in Egypt, they had to know about the Lamb. They had to be told. So all of those around us, friends, neighbors, relatives, co-workers, enemies even, have to be told of the saving work of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your Son. That you sent your Son to die for our sins.